SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi holding it down for the next hour. Carver High out on assignment. He'll be back on Friday. Fear not. We'll get our weekend college football picks on the docket. I think we both went 2-2 this past weekend. It was a great action in regards to week zero college football. As I mentioned before, the dogs were barking in a big way. All four dogs covered the spread, including Georgia Tech, which won the game as an 11.5-point underdog outright, 24-21 over the Florida State Seminoles and DJU. We're going to be joined by former Auburn, North Alabama, also Akron and ULM head coach and current college football analyst Terry Bowden. In just about 10 minutes, we'll get coach's take on Florida State, the situation. Also, a huge slate of college football starts on Thursday night with great games. You have Minnesota and North Carolina, new regime in regards to Chapel Hill, who's taken over for Drake May. Will it be Max Johnson? Quarterback battle coming out. You know, how long is Mack Brown and the crew going to last in regards to the Tar Heels? Tar Heels opened as basically a 1.5-2-point dog. They're now a 1.5-point favorite on the road. We know how good Fleck is at home, and we also know how good he is as an underdog. So something's got to give in regards to that matchup. We also have Colorado State taking on Texas this weekend. So that's a big matchup. Colorado taking on North Dakota State. That's a huge ballgame. And, you know, it could go either way. I mean, North Dakota State has won, I believe, 17 national championships or 19 national championships at the FCS level. They have just done a fantastic job. Cam Miller, that used to be part of the quarterback duo with Quincy Patterson in North Dakota State, returns. He's an experienced guy. They want to run it between the tackles. They're very physical at the point of attack, offense and defensive line play. They're catching 9.5 in Boulder against primetime Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And that's a game that could really either catapult Colorado to potentially a 6 or an 8-win season, or potentially knock off the wheels. You know, this is a polarizing team in Colorado, and the reason why I say that is they started 3-0 last year. There was all the optimism. We saw what primetime was able to do. They start 3-0. They win week one against TCU as a 20.5-point dog. And then all of a sudden, once they got smacked in the teeth by Dan Lanning and Oregon and Eugene, it's like the season didn't even matter. Getting to a bowl game was non-existent. It wasn't the biggest goal. It was undefeated or bust for the Colorado Buffaloes. And that's understandable. You want every player to play for championships, and you want to go in with that big play mentality. But for a program that was basically 1-11 with their former head coach, Carl Durrell, a program that was left on life support, getting back to a bowl game was of the utmost importance last year, and they had that opportunity. They were 4-8 overall, couldn't get there, and now that's their opportunity. Get back to a bowl game. Get back to bowl contention. Now, I've said this to Carver, and I'll continue to say it. Is that the ultimate goal of Deion Sanders? Does Deion Sanders want to be in Boulder for the next 3 to 5 seasons? If that's the case, then 6 wins has to be your short-term goal. Anything over 6 wins is ultimately gravy, right? get this program back to their winning ways, get them back to respectability, and then you could lead to that. I don't know if that's the big picture for Deion. But if it is, that is the ultimate goal. I'm not saying you shouldn't try for 12-0, but at the very least, Colorado's in the same spot as Nebraska and Matt Rhule. You've missed out on the playoffs for so long. The program has been dead and buried by your former coach, Scott Frost and Carl Durrell. And now is your opportunity to resurrect the program. Resurrect it back to respectability and then take it over the top in year 3 or 4. But you have to get to step one before you can get to step 4 and 5. And I'm not so sure that that's the main goal of the coaching staff or that's the main goal big picture. But only time will tell. This is a very difficult matchup, week 1. We'll talk about it with Coach Bowden as well. You want to join in? You want to talk about games?
I got some good news, Joe. I just got confirmation tomorrow evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. We have the great Mike Dettillier from Louisiana in Louisiana. Deep, deep insider with the New Orleans Saints and an even deeper insider with LSU football. Joe, your favorite tomorrow
good.
At 8:30.
Good. Bring him on.
Baby. Let's go.
Good.
Let's
Perfect.
Go. It's confirmed.
That's even better.
It's
I'll
confirmed.
Talk to Mike. We have 6 degrees of separation. We can cut it down. So you want to call in tonight on your favorite college plays? Call now, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879 is the number. I want to get back to this, and I'll talk about it with Coach Brown, too. Those that are clamoring after Florida State lost this week, I told you, they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I told you, they suck. I told you. All right, pump the brakes, number one, okay? That's the first thing. Number two, Florida State is not dead and buried. This is not the MO of Mike Norvell and where that team was last year. I'll just say this once. Based off the body of work, based off the undefeated season, backup or not, Florida State was deserving of being in the college football playoff. They were more deserving than Alabama having one loss and Texas having one loss. The solidified spot should have been Florida State undefeated and then make the argument between Alabama and Texas. I don't want to hear it, okay? The fact that they were snubbed was an absolute ridiculous situation in regards to what the playoff did. Okay, if it was Ohio State or anybody else, they would have never done that. Secondly, this is not what the team was in terms of week 1. I still think this is a strong team. Did they lose a conference game? Absolutely. Did they look pretty lethargic and walking through the motions? Absolutely. Does it mean they're dead and buried and that they're a 500 football team? Absolutely not. Again, you have a lot of moving parts. Does DJU still have to prove himself? Absolutely. But does that mean that this team can't step up and run the table? No doubt they can do it. Their odds went from basically plus 290 to win the ACC to now 6-1. They went from plus 154 to make the playoff to plus 360. Let me ask you this. Miami plays Florida and Clemson plays Georgia. Even though they're non-conference games, if both of those teams get boat raced on Saturday, are you confident about Cristobal and Dabo Sweeney moving forward? Absolutely not. Who's safer? Norvell that went 13-0 last year and 13-1 overall, or Dabo that went 9-4 last year, lost 4 conference games for the first time since 2014, and Mario Cristobal, if he loses on Saturday, he'll be 12-14 in South Beach. Who do you think is on more solid ground? Florida State, Miami, or Clemson? Give me a break. You don't know what you're talking about. Those are two programs at Miami and Clemson that have something to prove on Saturday. It's put up or shut up. And did Florida State lay an egg? Absolutely. But we'll see how they respond from weeks 2 to 14. For Miami and Clemson, take care of business and prove that you're deserving of the numbers that all of the books are giving you. We'll come back. We'll talk college football with college football analyst Terry Bowden coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver and Lisi, talking college football throughout the hour. where we saw week zero start off in a big way. I mentioned all four dogs were barking, covering the spread this past Saturday, including Georgia Tech getting their first conference win over a top 10 opponent, Florida State, 24-21. We're joined now by current college football analyst Terry Bowden. Coach, we spoke on Saturday prior to the game, right? We thought it would be a very close game, and Georgia Tech stepped up. They made the right plays, and they were deserving to win that ball game Saturday afternoon.
You're exactly right. You know, Florida State, I wish they had been playing at Bobby Bowden Field. That might have helped them a little bit instead of being in Dublin, Ireland. But, you know, Georgia Tech, the biggest thing I saw, Joe, I didn't see a difference in the talent level with both teams. I thought, as you might see with Georgia or Ohio State, that the talent level would be so superior that it would stick out. I didn't see that. But overall, I thought Florida State just, they played too conservatively a game. They thought they could run the football. They thought the quarterback would have some turnovers. They didn't think they could run that well against their defense and all those things. They were wrong on all those accounts. And Georgia Tech physically just took it to them.
Yeah, they did. And I think the biggest thing in terms of the matchup was Haynes King looked like the more comfortable quarterback, at least in the first half, right? You know, we were talking about Haynes King in terms of the pregame. He did come in with 27 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. I broke it down. First five games, he averaged 296 yards per game, 16 touchdowns and four INTs. Last eight games of the regular season, even though they made it to a bowl game, it was only 170 yards through the air with 11 touchdowns and 12 picks. And I honestly thought, Coach, and I want to get your take, I felt like even though they were started off slow, Florida State, they go into the half tied 14 up. You started to see that, hey, Georgia Tech wants to slow the game down, get this into the fourth quarter. And I felt like that's where coming out of the second half, you still have a quarterback that even though he's experienced, he wasn't part of your program in terms of DJU. You had to get this kid going early. Like, why didn't they push tempo early? They just seemed content going three and out, punting, and then when Georgia Tech took a 10 or a 12 play drive, they were up against it, down by 7 points.
Joe, you picked it perfectly. That's exactly what they did. They thought they would play conservatively, bring DJU in kind of gradually into their system, and just win the game. And Georgia Tech did it the way an underdog's supposed to do it. Hang close, win at the end where the other team doesn't have a chance to come back. Florida State, you know, Florida State got 58 yards rushing on the first drive and 40 the rest of the game. They averaged over 10 yards a carry the first drive and 1.5 the rest of the game. Where's the downfield throwing? They threw downfield one time and got a pass interference. And DJ was 70. He was over 70% and had no turnovers. He hit two fourth down passes in the fourth quarter in the second half to move the drive down the field. They just played too conservatively, and they played the Georgia Tech. I think they thought they could stop the running game of Georgia Tech, and I think they thought, based on last year, they could run the football and that the quarterback would have a couple of turnovers. And they didn't, you know, and they didn't make a change in their game plan. You don't make halftime adjustments. You make adjustments every series. And after the first or second series, Florida State needed to push the ball down the field. DJU could have done it because he was having a good, solid game. He wasn't wasting. He wasn't missing passes. He wasn't throwing badly. They just weren't throwing him downfield.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I've heard a lot of people, and I just left off saying, oh, Florida State, you see, they didn't deserve to be in the playoff last year. I said, number one, it's a different team last year than what it was this year. And not only that, there's no doubt Florida State's still in a position, even though you might think they're up against it. You know, Miami and Clemson are the two teams competing, at least right now, right on paper. But Miami plays Florida this weekend, and Clemson's a 13.5-point dog against top-right Georgia. Both of those teams lose week one, the pressure's on them just as much as Florida State, and that opens the door. So this season is far from lost right now.
No. I think in the ACC, Florida State has just as much chance to win the conference. You got to win the conference to get to the playoffs. I'm not sure number two is going to get there. And Florida State, since they lost to Georgia Tech, I'm not sure they can be number two and get there. But there's a path to the championship playoffs to win the conference championship. It's still going to be Florida State, Miami, and Clemson, Florida State just got themselves behind the eight ball. They have to win it all. They can't. I don't think you can lose to Georgia Tech early and get there unless you win the conference. But they can win the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned all four dogs covered the spread this weekend.
Right.
Obviously, Georgia Tech wins outright. Do you feel like the 6 months of preparation gives a lot of these double-digit dogs the opportunity to cover because they're breaking down film? The coaches are breaking down film for 4 or 5 months?
Joe, you got it. Well, first of all, if I'm the head coach at Georgia Tech, there's two things I want to do. I want to have the quarterback not turn the ball over. He had 16 interceptions last year, led the ACC in interceptions. They corrected that. And that's what you're going to do in the offseason. And you say, you know what, we got to stop the run. We were the worst in the conference at stopping the run. So they hired Siler Santucci from Duke as the defensive coordinator. They had the number one scoring defense in the conference last year. They brought him over, and now he puts his defense in better position to be successful. They took care of their two weakest points. They couldn't stop the run last year, and they threw too many turnovers. They eliminated both of those because of all the preparation. And remember, Georgia Tech had to win this game to have a special year. That's a special year. Florida State had to win all of them to have a special year. They wanted to win them all. I'm not so sure they thought Georgia Tech was the game they had to have. They had to have a bunch of games to be back in that 13-0 level. Georgia Tech knew if they could win this one, they got a chance to now compete for the conference championship.
Yeah, they had a 6.5 win total to start the year, and now they're 1-0. They opened up as 17.5 point favorites week one against Georgia State. It's already ballooned up over 20.5 to 21 points on multiple books. We'll come back with more college football talk with Coach Fowler and keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver Lisi, continuing the college football talk. Week one on the horizon starts on Thursday night. We'll get Coach back on as the week progresses, get some picks and breakdowns for some of the Big Ten and ACC action on Thursday and Friday night. But, Coach, you talk about these games over the weekend. Notre Dame, Texas A&M, that's a pretty intriguing matchup. A lot of pressure on Marcus Freeman, a lot of pressure on Mike Elko. And I talked to you about taking over for your former assistant, Jimbo Fisher. I mean, the expectation and the drop-off in year one, 8.5 win total, and it's a complete, basically, rebuild. Is that over expectations for Mike Elko, even though he coached there before?
You know, the biggest thing I would say is look at the coaches that are leading the country in wins. It's defense coordinators. I mean, all the talk about offense and expanding offensive productivity, I still think the coaches that are founded in defensive football are the ones like Kirby Smart or Nick Saban or Lanning at Oregon. These guys are founded in defensive fundamentals. I think Elko has the ability to go in there and immediately change.
We might have lost Coach right there.
We might have lost Coach Fowden. He was talking about, I thought I dropped off there. We were talking about defensive coaches and defensive mindsets in regards to some of the top coaches in college football. Kirby Smart has won 2 of the last 3 national championships. Dan Lanning made it to a Pac-12 championship, but also coached up the offensive side of the ball. I think that's the biggest thing, too. And maybe we could get Coach back either later tonight or tomorrow on the show, is that in college, the defensive coaches have at least, you know, been open to elevating and cultivating the quarterback play. And I bring that up in terms of Oregon and Dan Lanning, in terms of the progression of Bo Nix. He had Kenny Dillingham, the offensive coordinator that's new, now the Arizona State head coach a couple of years ago.
Good news, Joe. We got Coach Bowden coming on right here again. Hey, Coach, right back to you.
There he is.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Joe,
that's okay, but I was going to say, Coach, that the defensive coaches, like you mentioned, in terms of Kirby and Dan Lanning and all of the good ones, right, they still have coached up the quarterback position as well. You got Carson Beck for Georgia. You saw what Bo Nix did with Dan Lanning. So they're not just dead set on the defensive side of the ball. They're actually coaching up the offense and making sure that quarterback's on the next level as well.
Well, let me say this. As a head coach, and I've been a head coach 28 years at every level of football, and I've coached against many of these coaches or their assistants, great defense and a great quarterback, or a veteran quarterback, a professional NFL-type quarterback, or just a great leader. Those, you got to have a great quarterback and a great defense. That's kind of what I mean. You never can the quarterback touches the ball 50% of the time every game. He touches the ball. He puts it in the right hands. He makes the decisions. You got to have the right quarterback, and you got to have a defense. You can go with a decent running game or a decent passing game, but you got to have those two things. And I think you're right. You're right on, Joe. These teams that are competitive with great defensive head coaches, they've still got to have a quarterback coach, a coordinator that can massage and get that quarterback to where he wants him to play.
And we see a team like Michigan as well. They really haven't named their starter. They open up against Fresno State. And I just feel a lot of people are selling short Jerome Moore and that team. The allegations have now come out with the Connor Stallion situation. Briefly, I mean, just from the sign stealing. I mean, again, this has been going on, Coach, for how long now? I mean, that's why half the sidelines now. This year they have the communication through the helmets, just like the NFL. But this was going on for years. That's why you had those signs with Corso's face and the Oregon Duck going on, no?
You always try to steal signals. You always try. You always have been. I can remember my father saying back in the 50s, we didn't have any video. We would climb over the bushes and watch the other team practice so we could figure out what their plays were. It's always been a one-up kind of deal. Now, I will say this. I think that Michigan probably went beyond what you should have done. I don't like a coach saying, no, I had known nothing about it if he knew something about it. Just don't say anything. Don't say, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, that's the thing that I have. Because I think there's no way that the head coach knew nothing about it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll talk more college football. We're just getting started. Second hour of Carver and Lisi coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver and Lisi, we're joined by former head coach and current college football analyst Terry Bowden joins us. We're going to get into some week one matchups. I told you the slate is heavy on Thursday night. One game that I happen to like seems to be what coach is looking at as well. We talk about Mack Brown and North Carolina on the road opening it up against P.J. Fleck and Minnesota. Minnesota was a favorite. They were 2-point favorites. Now they're 1.5-point underdogs. Also, Coastal Carolina on the road against Jacksonville State and your former offensive coordinator. Coach Rich Rodriguez. Rich was there with you in your first year with UL Monroe. Has done a fantastic job in terms of his first year there. What are you seeing in both of these matchups?
Well, you know, Rich Rodriguez was also my brother's offensive coordinator at Tulane when they went undefeated. He was with him at Clemson when they had their great years there. I really see this is Jacksonville State. They're I think, a 1.5-point favorite, 2.5 points, but I love them all the way to beat the line there. He lost last year to them, and I just know him and how he coaches and how he prepares. He'll win this ball game. I'm really feeling good. And then Minnesota, P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, watch out. I've coached against P.J. Fleck when I was at Akron. I coached against him every year. I watched him. He's an outstanding coach. He's kind of cocky. He's kind of like Lane Kiffin. They're two kind of peas in a pod. Some guys, they rub some people the wrong way. It's because they're so confident. But I think he'll have Minnesota ready, and I think they knock off North Carolina. And I think at Jacksonville State, those are two of all out of the bigger games. I don't see any that I think are as sure. I like those two picks.
Yeah, that's an intriguing game because, you know, the one thing that Minnesota does do, Coach, is they play defense. They force teams to methodically work down the field. And even though North Carolina has a wide-open offensive attack, there's still inconsistency in regards to the quarterback position. You have Max Johnson solidified, at least in terms of the depth chart, as the number one. You have Criswell is there as well. Jacoby Criswell that'll battle it out. I think Mack Brown and the staff will go with Max Johnson. He's a battle-tested kid, started at LSU, right. Then went with Jimbo last year, played much of the year after Connor Wegman went down. He's a kid that'll stay in the pocket. He's not very mobile anymore. I think he's a fifth or a sixth-year senior, but he could stand in there as long as he gets a clean pocket, but that goes right into the strength of P.J. Fleck in Minnesota, one of the better secondaries in regards to the Big Ten. And Minnesota at home, I sort of like the look as well. I think they could be live in terms of a home dog in that matchup. Let me ask you this in regards to Clemson. I know you were on the staff a couple of years ago after Akron, before you took the job at UL Monroe, and you were there with DJU. And a couple of things I just want to break down because as it relates to this game on Saturday afternoon. You know, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Amari Rodgers about 3 years ago. That's a cause of concern, I believe. I think that puts pressure on the offensive line, obviously puts pressure, you know, in regards to the rushing attack as well, and we've been very critical of that over the past couple of years. And then the dominance that he has had, prior to last year, they were 73-7 against ACC opponents from 2014 to 22. Last year, he goes 4-4 in the conference. The pressure is on Dabo this year to start fast. I mean, they really need to show well against the top-ranked Bulldogs. Bulldogs, not just to potentially keep them involved in the conversation, but before everybody starts saying, is Dabo starting to regress?
Well, the biggest thing is, I was an analyst at Clemson. My brother hired Dabo when my brother was the head coach at Clemson. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever been around, and he's a very confident in what he's done. He really has put his career on the line by not taking any portal transfers. He's really saying, okay, I don't believe in it. I believe in my culture. I'm going to stick with our guys. And I'm thinking, where's Trevor Lawrence? Where's Travis Etienne? Where are that level? TJ Higgins, where are those level of athletes? Because you can't win. And the problem is everybody else is doing it. Everybody, Georgia is doing it. Alabama's doing it. Everybody that's winning is jumping in the portal for one or two players. So, he's sticking with his philosophy of bringing him in as a freshman. I respect him for that, but I would say be careful because, Bear Bryant had a saying that the first team to put the wishbone in won the championship, the last team to take it out got fired. You got to change with the times. If you don't, you're not going to last in college football. You've got to continue to change with the times. Now, I like his philosophy. I love being at Clemson, but we're going to see that because Georgia, I think, athletically, they will look different on the field. And that's not where Clemson was 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I broke down the stats. You think Georgia, right? We know about the dominance in terms of defense. The secondary gave up about 175 passing yards per game. But it's very difficult to beat that type of defense when their offense had the number one ranked third down offense in all of college football, converting 55% of the opportunities. So not only are they moving the football and converting almost 6 of 10 first downs, but their defense held opposing offenses to 25%. Third downs. That was number one. So the defense has given Carson Beck and the offense a short field. Their offense is all they're doing is consistently scoring and getting first downs. That's a huge recipe to win ball games, right? So what can Clemson do to at least stay inside this 13.5 point number? Do they have to pull out all the stops on Saturday?
Well, the one thing you need in this kind of game, don't turn the ball over and don't give up a big play. Those two things are the most critical things. Make Georgia draft and earn everything they get. No, not only does that keep the score down, it runs the clock out, and it keeps the underdog in the game. If you give up, if you turn the ball over, or if you give up big plays, that just puts you in it more behind the eight ball. So I think Clemson's got to play their best, and they've got to make sure they don't turn it over, give the other team opportunities, and they don't give up big plays because that takes them right out of the football game. But you're right. Georgia isn't just great defense. They're the number one quarterback in the country right now as far as Heisman's concerned. They've got a great offensive line. They've got talent across the board. And I think you've got to play. You've got to play a perfect game on both sides of the ball. And as anything, any coach will tell you, don't turn it over and don't give up a big play if you're going to upset somebody.
Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup. 3:30 is the kick, and we talk about Carson Beck, Heisman front runner. He's a quarterback that completed 72% of his passes, over 3,900 yards, 24 touchdowns, 6 INTs. That is a big kid. And if the draft was taken, let's say, in the next week, Carson Beck would be one of the top three quarterbacks selected in terms of the top three selections. He's up there with Shedeur Sanders in terms of size and mobility in regards to pocket presence as well. So we'll see how it plays out. On the flip side, you have Cade Klubnik, 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, a quarterback that struggled with consistency, especially in big matchups.
Right.
Let's not forget, Coach, Clemson, you know, started last year against Mike Elko and Duke. They lose right out of the gate and get blasted by double digits. That needs to change in order for them to challenge for the ACC.
Yeah, but I think, Joe, I think you were right in our opening remarks. Clemson could lose, Miami could lose, Florida State lost, and they're all right where they started from, competing for the conference championship in an ACC that probably only gets one team in the punt in the national playoffs.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be intriguing to see how these games play out. This is the best time of the year. We have controversy, and week one hasn't even been underway. Coach, it's always a pleasure. We're going to get you on throughout the week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll get you on before Thursday night's games. We'll get some picks from you.
Sounds good. Take care, Joe.
Coach Bowden, bringing the knowledge. We'll come back. We'll wrap up college football talk. Get you prepped and ready for Tuesday night. Keep it where it is. Carver and Leeson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I need a 5-run rally here. In Colorado, top 5, Marlins, bases loaded, 1 out, no score. I need this in a big way. Detroit down 2-1, runner on second, 1 out. 16-6, they added a touchdown. Cubs over the Pirates. I wish I had that over. If you took the over in Atlanta, Minnesota, good news, they're underway. 9-1 right now, Braves over the Twins. 7-2, Padres over the Cards. And Tampa and Seattle just getting underway right now. So we'll keep you updated. Hopefully we can get some scoring. Great knowledge from Coach Bowden. He'll be on. I'll get him on either Wednesday or Thursday, right before the games as well. We'll get some breakdowns from Coach. Quick update, 17-6 now, Cubs. Coach and I are going to be doing a weekly ACC and SEC podcast on Sports Grid. It'll start, I believe, this Thursday or Friday. It'll be on demand, so we'll tweet it out. We'll be breaking down, you know, top games each and every week. So that's on top of Carver and Leeson. It'll be on like an on-demand type of situation. So we start video and audio in regards to that. I think we're calling it the Bowden Blitz. So keep an eye out for that on Sports Grid. Starts this week. Me and Coach Bowden breaking it down for about 48 minutes of both ACC and SEC content. So Coach Bowden's great in regards to the coaching perspective. Coached against a number of these guys. You know, Jimbo Fisher was his former coordinator and quarterback back in the day. So he knows a lot of these coaches. He knows trends. He knows, the way they coach. And it's good to get his mindset in regards to some of these matchups. I'm already locked and loaded breaking down week number one as well in terms of best bets. Is that a base hit? 2-0 Marlins. All right. 2-0. We cracked through Sanchez. So we broke in Colorado. Maybe we need 12 more runs to come through there. Maybe points of plenty. So that's a good sign in regards to the baseball. 18-6, Cubs over the Pirates. Incredible. That is unbelievable in regards to that. So I mentioned a full slate of baseball tomorrow. I'll just give you a couple games that I'm looking at in regards to totals. So, and I'll just get you prepped and ready for tomorrow night's action, and then we'll continue with the college football talk. Late game, let me just make sure that the start. I like the Reds and A's. 641, you got a 9.5 total. I'm willing to take that in regards to the over. You got Spence on the mound for the Athletics. To be determined for the Reds, but I think this is a game where the Reds wrap around Oakland in this matchup. I'll probably alt it up to 11.5 in regards to that. You got Richardson and Schwellenbach going for the Twins and Braves, respectively. That's tomorrow at 7:41. Braves broke out in a big way. I think it could continue. I think they match up well with the Twins, so I would go over the 8 there. And then let me just see the late games. It, depending upon how this game goes in Colorado, they're hanging an 11 for tomorrow. Munoz and for the Marlins and Quantrill for the Rockies. Could be Gas Can City. I'm willing to go up, 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 and away in regards to that. So we'll keep you updated. I'll tweet it out if I put in any other parlays. But that's where we're going in regards to the baseball. Colorado does get out of the inning. Bottom five, Marlins lead 2-0. Right now, top three, Braves up 9-1. So we talked about Coach and his breakdowns. Let me just say this about Texas A&M and Notre Dame. You bring in Riley Leonard, and he's supposed to take over for Sam Hartman. And Sam Hartman was brought in to elevate the passing attack with Marcus Freeman last year. He was brought in specifically to win that game against Ryan Day in Ohio State. And in that game, he throws for 175 yards. The offense was limited. You wanted to play to win that game 14-13, and they wound up losing it 17-14. You know, typical defensive coordinator type of mindset. Sam Hartman was a Heisman Trophy, you could say, contender 2 or 3 years ago when he was with Wake Forest, one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC. He comes to Notre Dame, and he only has 2 performances where he throws for over 300. If you're Marcus Freeman and you're Notre Dame this year, that needs to change with Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard is a dual threat. You're on the road. There's going to be 110,000 fans screaming in College Station. You opened up as a 1.5-point favorite. You're now a 2.5-point dog. Mike Elko going up against his former quarterback. You got defensive coordinator. But we keep talking about people drinking the Kool-Aid out there in College Station. 8.5 win total. Sumlin couldn't do it. Jimbo couldn't do it. R.C. Slocum couldn't do it. Mike Sherman couldn't do it. Jackie Sherrill couldn't do it. You want me to keep going? I mean, the amount of optimism in year one with Connor Wegman and this team and Le'Veon Moss now taking over for that offense. Good luck and God bless, because I'm not a believer in Connor Wegman. I've seen him struggle. I know from a stats perspective, it looks great on paper. But in games 2 years ago and last year against Auburn, he struggled. And that was not an elite Auburn defense. It was an SEC caliber defense, though. And he struggled with that type of offensive defensive scheme. That is a cause of concern on Saturday night going up against Notre Dame. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking college football week one action. I can't wait. Let me tell you, Thursday cannot get here soon enough. I need a minor miracle here in Colorado getting over the 13.5. Can I get, 5-5? Take me to extras and maybe we could steal it. I'm dead and buried in Chicago, these White Sox. 2-1, all of a sudden the guy's pitching a gem. Amazing in regards to how this bullpen has handled the Detroit. Amazing. I just don't understand it, to be honest with you. But all right. We'll see. Nonetheless, hopefully the Tigers can break out. Maybe we can get 6 or 7 runs and maybe push the tempo in the final 3. We'll see how it plays out. I left off talking about Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Miami and Florida. Oh, this is, you want to talk about hot seat city. I can't wait for this game either. You got Cam Ward, everybody's All-American, Player of the Year Conference. Just hand them the Heisman Trophy right now. And Graham Mertz. This is going to be an amazing game. And I say that because, you know, Billy Napier is 11-14 in Gainesville since he's been there. But he's 9-4 at home. And you look at Mario Cristobal, he has struggled on the road as a coach. Last 2 years in regards to Miami. They have lost, and I just want to make sure I get the stats there, for the Hurricanes. Last year, as a road team, they lost to North Carolina and North Carolina State. They lost to Florida State as well. They were 2-4 on the road last year, and in year one in South Beach, they were 2-5. So he's 4-9 over the last couple of seasons, Mario Big Chest. Okay, and we talk about how good Napier is at home for the most part. 9-4, 9 of his 11 wins in his tenure have come at home. The Hurricanes have lost the games on the road by an average margin of like 9.6, 10 points per game. You have Mertz, who's experienced, coming in the same scheme, going up against Cam Ward. So, okay, yeah, Cam Ward did perform very well in Wash State, but you have Damian Martinez, the running back that transfers over. You have an offense that's still a little bit inconsistent. Again, with Taylor Van Dyke, they averaged 258 passing yards as an offense. You look at the games that they broke out. Taylor Van Dyke against A&M probably was his best performance. They threw for 374. He had 5 touchdowns, no interceptions in regards to that. Miami did cover that line, and they won 48-33. After that, his best performance probably was against North Carolina. And oh, by the way, they lost that game 41-31. That was the game after Georgia Tech. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They were dead and buried because of Mario. Okay. All right, I got that, but what has Mario Cristobal done here that allows you to believe he's going to elevate this team on paper? And I'm not saying Napier is a great head coach, but again, with 6 months of preparation, with the quarterback that's played in the scheme before, in terms of Graham Mertz, I sort of have a little more confidence in Florida at home. I've toggled back and forth, and I still don't know which way I'm going to go. The line suggests Miami, and Joe Public's on the Florida Gators. Quarterback, I give the edge to Mertz, even though I love Cam Ward as a player. He's in that scheme with Mario Big Chest, and Graham Mertz, to me, at home, probably is going to be a little more confident. In regards to that, that is why I give the edge to Napier. I do believe Florida could be a live dog in this matchup. And if that's the case, what happens to Mario? What happens to Miami as a whole? 9.5 win total. They lose to Florida. They lose to Florida State this year. They go 8-4. Is that acceptable? Is that what you brought Mario Big Chest in for? And when's it going to change? Again, Miami fans, you have one double-digit season since you won a national championship. And Mark Richt was the guy to bring you that double-digit season. You were an 11-0 football team when you ran into Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. You got boat raced and you didn't even show up with the college football playoff appearance on the line. Give me a break. From Matthias Burbell, Mike Carver, I'm Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night, everyone. Win some money.